Well, we're going back into our teaching this morning in the same line of series. We're teaching about a full salvation. The Lord spoke to me to teach along this line and going over really what salvation is, what's entailed in our salvation. Today, and I've watched this, not just today, but I watched it over the years, and people talk about preaching the gospel. And I've listened to many people, and you talk about most of people, when you talk about what the gospel is, and usually they don't talk about the gospel that Paul talked about. They talked about the gospel. They just talk about a part of the gospel, which deals with salvation through Jesus Christ. And when they deal with salvation, salvation's this part where you accept Jesus and you become a child of God. But all the rest of it's left out. It's sort of, you know, like Darlene was talking this morning. You have a Christian. Now, they talk about salvation. But now when they, if you ask that individual, are they saved, they would probably say yes. But you know what? What were they saved from? They believe they're in the same boat as the sinners in. So what did they get saved from? See, the whole idea of salvation, what does salvation entail and what it is? What did it do? Most of Christianity, the gospel is this. That God, their salvation means this. You got sins forgiven, but you're still in the sin boat. You're still in the same old sin boat. You haven't left anything. Salvation, the basic line of it is this. You were taken from something and put into something else. It is not gospel if it doesn't. It's not gospel. We have much today that's preached. It's religion. It's man's idea about what the Word says. It's not what the Bible says. Not saying it to be critical. You got to preach truth. Salvation don't amount to much to what it's preached. And people, you know, people seem to be just satisfied with the fact, well, you know, I'm saved. But really, their whole life, the devil dominates. Devil's dominating everything. He's ruling everything. You know, you talk to the average Christian today, and if you talk about praying for our country, the average Christian thinks America's done. The average spirit-filled Christian don't think much better about it. See, so we know this. People are not praying by faith. See, it's number one, you can't live over in the area and living by what you see going on around you and pray in line with that, because you're going to pray in line. Your faith is going to be moved by what you saw. And this is why, you know, I'm big on the Word. You get over in the Word. When I get before God in prayer, I am not moved by what I saw on the news or heard or saw online or went to Facebook or went to something. I'm not moved by that. I'm not moved by any of that. What I moved in the presence of God is by the Word, because this, the Bible tells me that if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. He didn't say if I ask anything according to whatever the problem is going on, He hears me. He doesn't say because you're having problems and trouble, God will hear you because He's sympathetic towards you. It does not say that. You need to get that. Most people think, well, you know, you're in trouble and God wants to help. Yeah, He wants to help, but He ain't going to help you till you move in line with faith of His Word, not in line with faith of your problem. See, this is one thing as a gospel. We preach a problem gospel. The gospel is a deliverance gospel. It delivers from the problem. It isn't a problem gospel. The gospel is a totally different thing. And we want to look at the fullness of salvation. We've been talking about that. Last week, we went through chapter 7 of the book of Romans into the beginning of chapter, partway through chapter 8. And we did that for this purpose. God wants us to see. We saw the condition. Paul revealed the condition that he was in under the law as a sinner. What it was like. He was a guy who wanted to do what the law said, but he just couldn't do it. He just kept messing up. And if you've heard people preach, and which I've heard many preach, oh, you know, we said we're just going to sin. That's what they preach on. Paul wasn't talking about being a saved man. We go over to chapter 8, which is the same letter, and it, you know, it isn't divided into chapters, and we found this out, that the person who is born again is not in the flesh anymore. He's not in the flesh. I want you to get a hold of this, and you need to get a hold of the difference. This is why you need to study the Bible and quit just listening to preachers. Thank God You know, you got to get it for yourself and understand this, because things many times are preached wrong. We need to be careful in talking about people being in the flesh. We talk about the Christians. A Christian is in the Spirit. He may yield to the flesh, but he's not in the flesh. When we say Christians are in the flesh, we designate Christians the same as the world. And we're doing just what the people say. Well, you know, we're just sinners, old sinners, saved by grace. We're doing the same thing. Paul wrote and said that if you have the Spirit of Christ, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. You need to see yourself. You may at times, there is times I yielded to the flesh. Did you ever have that happen in your life? Where you yielded to the flesh. But I'm not in the flesh. I'm not in it. I am in the Spirit, because the Bible said the Spirit of Christ is in me. That's in me. I have the Spirit of God. I am not in the flesh. I may yield to it. This is where we renew our minds and learn to live by the Word of God, so we don't yield to the flesh. See, we need to get in line and start talking the talk of the Word. Most Christians talk themselves right out of their faith. You know, they go before God and they mess up and they go like they're a failure. Say, no, go to God in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit, Lord. I yielded the flesh, but I don't like doing that. I'm your child. Hallelujah. See, get in faith in the presence of God. You don't go into His presence as a failure. Hallelujah. And people are doing that. You know, they talk them right self right out of the blessing. Till they get done talking, they wouldn't believe God would bless them because they wouldn't bless them. They talk negative about themselves in the presence of God. We need to see this. Now, we're going to go through some more scriptures here. God keeps adding some things onto this thing as I go along in a certain direction. I have a lot of scriptures of things that I did, but I haven't known exactly where the Holy Spirit's wanted to go. But I'm going to do more teaching than I normally just as the Spirit leads me when I get up here. But God told me to do this, and really more line upon line teachings. We're going to go through many scriptures because it's the foundation of Scripture. It's true. I don't care what you heard somebody else preach or what I preached or whatever. It's the Scripture that's true, that's correct, and it's right. And you learn to throw out the past of what you heard. You know, get off your religious colored glasses. Get those things off. Get yourself over. Now, I want to look at Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 13. We're going to start there. Now, look what it says. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us. He has. Well, we can see they're dealing with that. He has delivered us. In other words, that's something in the past tense. If you are born again, you have been delivered. You are not going to get delivered. You have been. We're going to look at this because of darkness. You've been delivered from this darkness. So He's delivered you from it. So we need to understand this in dealing with the facts of salvation. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. If I looked at the definition of, we talked about the word salvation, soteria, that Greek word, what it means. That is telling, anything that holds me bound, anything that would harm me or put me in danger, destruction or ill health, that's darkness. See, Christians, this is why. If you understand the word, there is no way that somebody can preach and preach accurately and say God wants you sick. Because that would mean this. He don't want you saved. He's His own defeat. You see, salvation. He's delivered you from darkness. Sickness and disease is in the field of darkness. You have been delivered. How many of you believe sixth light? You say, I want to give my kids some real light from God. Let's let them get COVID. What do you think? That'd be some real light. Well, see, we don't think of anything. You know, I want my kids to be in bondage. I want them to have a tormented mind. Let's give them that one. I'll tell you what. You see, we have all these things, and people run around and say, God has a purpose. Yes, He does. To deliver mankind. That's the purpose. Salvation is delivered from anything that torments. And it comes from torment, comes from sin. It comes from Satan's kingdom. There's no torment in heaven. You know, Christians talk about they want to go to heaven. Everything's going to be wonderful there. But Why would it be wonderful there? God got all this stuff to torment you with. God got all this stuff He's going to do to you. He's got it full of sickness to send down on you. He's got all these things. You see, you got to get over your religious ideas. This is why people can't get healed. They think that there's purpose. You know, I'm standing in faith. They talk about it, but they're really not standing in faith. In the back of their mind, their thought is, you know, I wonder what's going on and why God allow this? And they got a thing to do with God allowing. You're living in a world with the devil and he's stealing, killing, destroying, and you're thinking, when your thinking goes the fact that God has anything to do with it, you've already moved into the wrong place. You've already started heading back over to where you were delivered from. You're heading right to darkness. That's darkness thinking. That is darkness thinking. You have been delivered from that darkness. And what have you been done? You've been delivered. Now you have been conveyed somewhere. Now this is the important thing. Salvation doesn't just do you something here. It turns out, forgives you. If it don't take you someplace, it ain't salvation. It ain't salvation. God didn't just say you're forgiven in the sin, in the devil's kingdom. You're forgiven. That's really what Darlene was talking about. They believe they're still in the devil's kingdom and God just forgave them. Hey, you hear this from pulpits. I was listening one day, I was on the radio doing some running around, doing some errands. And a major minister on the radio, and he's not spirit-filled, but I mean, he has a lot of good things. He made some remarks about, I thought, how could this man say these things? All these people that listen to him, he just put them back out in darkness. You know, they ain't going to know whether God likes him or not after this thing. I mean, he made some statements and I thought, dear God. And I mean, it's some of these other ministers that they think this God does such a great job and they're having him on the thing. I'm thinking, man, this guy's beliefs are crazy. Because he has some major problems with the foundation of gospel. On beliefs. And I know this, that you get the average Christian who don't know much about the Word. Man, I'm going to tell you what. They're going to believe they ain't got a chance. They're going to believe they're done. Well, no wonder. I might as well just go on and live the best I can. What does it matter? You know. And see, people make statements about stuff. Now, listen to this. You were delivered from darkness, and what will you do? You know, it's sort of like this. You're out here drowning in the water and some guy comes out and pulls you up out of the water, you know, and says, I can breathe again. And then he releases you and swims back to the shore and leaves you there. That's most of the gospel that's preached today. You're left out there. Okay, Jesus saved you, but basically your head's just going to stay above water the whole time while you're here till either you die or he comes back, one of the two. Good luck! Now, listen to what he said. And conveyed you. Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He took us somewhere. He placed us in a different place. You have been placed. You're no longer in darkness. You're in the kingdom of light. See, we don't divide. Here in the earth, we don't divide anymore. The gospel. We want to get along with everybody. We want to be generally, most of the church world, and most of them, they even call good church world, is more seeker friendly than you realize. Because they're trying to keep everybody happy. We don't want to make anybody upset. We don't want anybody criticizing us on the news media. We don't want anything like this going on. And so we don't tell them, look, there's a divide between the world and the church. We are in a different kingdom. We're in a different kingdom. We're not going to go there. See, people, I'm not going to go to, if I'm not in God's kingdom today, if I die, I don't get to go there. You don't go from here to God's kingdom. You're either in it now or you're never going to be in it. It's simple. No problem with it. The Bible's clear on the subject. And see, we've lost those things. We're here in the earth. We need to understand that. The changed life is the fact. You can't have a changed life if you've not been conveyed to something else. You need to be conveyed. See, when you got born again, you switched kingdom. You've been conveyed to the kingdom of the Son of His love. You've been taken out of that place of harm. and that place of danger and destruction, that place of ill health, and you have been in a kingdom now that exactly opposite of that. God's kingdom has none of those things. It has none of them. None of that exists there. That's the kingdom you're in. See, get that clear about yourself. I'm in this. See, when Christians are trying to get healed, this is what you're doing. You're acting like you're still in this kingdom over here and you're trying to get the stuff to that kingdom. I'm sorry. That kingdom doesn't have any of that stuff. It isn't me trying to get it. Health belongs to me. I'm not trying to get it. It is mine. It's on my account because I was conveyed out of that darkness over here. Health is mine. Whatever's trying to steal, kill, or destroy, it's in the devil's kingdom here. Over here in this kingdom, it's not there. God don't have it. If God has it, Jesus Christ is the biggest liar when he said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, because he's the thief, he's the liar. Has Jesus come to steal, kill, and destroy? Has he come to bring harm? Jesus didn't have to bring harm to the world. All of it was here. It was already here when he got here. And he delivered you. Get that mindset. Get out of the mindset that you're trying to get God to give you something. You're not trying to. Your job is to receive what God has given you. You're in this kingdom. In this kingdom, you can receive health. Why? It belongs to the people of this kingdom. It belongs to you. It's yours. Why are you treating it like you're trying to talk God into giving? Well, I'm just believing. And I'll tell you, I'm just believing and praying. And I'm just... What is that all about? We're not struggling with God. The Bible tells us we wrestle against principality, not flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. You know what your major 99% of our problem every time is this, is your unrenewed mind. Thinking wrong. That's what it is. That's the battle. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, the pulling strong down the strongholds. And he says what? Taking every thought into captivity. Unrenewed minds is why this exists. The battle is not me trying to twist the devil's arm and throw it. My problem is this. It's me thinking the devil's in charge and then treating him like he's in charge and trying to act like, well, I'm just down here. Maybe God has a reason. The devil says, you know, you're not going to get healed because, you know, you did this wrong. I say, well, yeah, I did. That's true. I'm falling for it. Say yes and just keep going along with some old religious beliefs, going along with those things. Not resisting him. You got to get your mind changed. You got to see yourself. I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the spirit. Well, yeah, well, I did do something wrong over here. I did get in the flesh about this thing or this certain thing. Why? But the Bible says you're not in the flesh. Look, I'm not in the flesh. I may have yielded to it, but I'll tell you, we're bringing that thing to a stop right now. Lord, I repent. Glory to God. I stand before you righteous. Hallelujah. I'm in the righteous kingdom. I'm not in the sin kingdom. You know, Spirit-filled people do as much penance as the Catholics. Let's get real about it. They try to do penance instead of just saying, Lord, I was stupid, messed up, I did such and such, thank God for forgiving me. Now let's just get back on the road together again. Hallelujah. Let's have a good time together. Nah, we'll go through sorrowful, you know, low crawling around, whining and crying and whatever else. We go through those things because of unrenewed minds. Get your mind fixed on things. You've been delivered. You've been delivered and conveyed, taken out of, put in something. Hallelujah. So our deliverance, glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been delivered. You've been delivered what? Now, if we are delivered, now I want you to think about this. If I say to Christian, are you delivered from sin? And people usually say, yes, we're delivered from sin. Yes, yes. Are you delivered from sin? I want you to think about it. Because, now I want you to see it. Did God really deliver me from sin? Did He? See, I can't answer that question for you. That's a question you have to answer for you. Everybody has to answer that for themselves. See, we have to answer these things the Word. Doesn't matter what I say about it. It's what you think about it's going to determine your life. Not what I say about it. We're delivered from sin. Well, If we are delivered from sin, if that's true, did he deliver me from sin but not the consequences of sin? See, most Christians don't believe. The average Christian, the average spirit-filled Christian, doesn't really believe they've been delivered from the consequences. Oh, we got to get out of here. See, we were over here in this camp. And see, you reap what you sow over here. And I lived in the sin camp for 30 years. I got good at it. Hallelujah. People say you need to confess your sin to get saved. I don't even know 10% of the sins I committed. I'll guarantee. See, if you had to confess all your sin to get saved, I'm going to hell. Nobody confesses their sin. You don't even know all the sin you did. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Well, you got to confess your sin to get saved. Dear God, no you don't. You confess Christ. Now you need to come to the knowledge that you need saved. I needed to. Now, the consequences. The consequences of that sin, we must be delivered from those consequences. If you're not, you're still in danger. You still need rescued. You and I being delivered from sin means that we had to be delivered from the consequences, or the Bible's a lie and I'm still in danger. Because those consequences of those sin, man, means trouble for me. If I was not dealt, if God didn't deliver me from the consequences of the thing I did, I will guarantee you I wouldn't be alive today. The devil would have killed me. He'd had an open door to me because I did everything to open those doors. And if I wasn't dealt with the consequences, see, this is the things when Christianity talks about forgiveness of sin. Now, even in here, like I say, we talk about salvation and we talk about this much of it. You know, salvation's this wide, and we say, well, forgiveness of sin. Well, when it comes to forgiveness of sin, we deal with that much of it. We never deal with the consequences, delivered from the consequences. I hear Christians say, well, we're living in a fallen world. Yeah, you sure are, but I'm not in the kingdom of this world. I have been delivered from the consequences of the fall. That's the whole point of Jesus came. Deliver us from the consequences. Man's life was headed toward destruction. My life, the wrath of God abided on me. Well, if the wrath of God is removed and I still have the consequences, who cares? It's all a worthless thing. It would be worthless. It's the consequences. Hallelujah. Thank God you and I have been delivered of the consequences of sin. What it was playing out in our life. See, I don't care what you were before you accepted Christ. I don't care what you did. Don't you let the devil drag it up to you. I remember my father, because my father got older and he talked about some things and he listened to what I said because his health changed. But he got over and started having some health problems, and he had done really well up through the years. Like my dad never was in a hospital up until he was 80 some years old. Now, I talked to my dad, and he went one day saying, well, you know, he said, I did with my life. He said, with my drinking and stuff, he said, before I got saved, he said, he's like myself. My dad was 30 years old when he got saved, and I was 30 when I got saved. But my dad said, I just treated my body terrible. He said, he was a drunkard and all the stuff he talked about he did and all those things. And I sat down and I talked with my dad about salvation and about, so I said, Dad, do you believe that what you did back then, you're still going to have to pay the price for that? I said, you still see, he believed and he's paying the consequences for sin. You see, that's why we go through all this so-called, you know, we have today the 12-step programs and all that kind of stuff. They're trying through the minds of man, trying to bypass this stuff. Instead of just preaching the Word. The Word is so darn good. And you're already free. We don't preach to people that they are free. We keep trying to get people free. The Christian's not trying to get free. The Christian is free. See, that's when the God got across to me. As a drunkard, I get saved and the Lord says to me, did you notice you don't have to drink anymore? See, he didn't stop and say, you know what? I'll deliver you from drinking. No, the night I accepted Jesus, I was delivered from alcohol. He notified me of it. It's already been done. There's not a thing in your life that you haven't already been freed from. Anything you think you got some kind of problem that you can't deal with, you've already been delivered from it. The fact is you need to find out about it. You haven't come to, you come to the knowledge, you're, let's say people out here, they want a deliverance ministry. The deliverance ministry is to go get the people delivered in the world. It's about casting devils out of sinners so they can get saved. It's not going into the church and trying to get the devils out of Christians. They're supposed to, they're already delivered, they're supposed to deliver themselves. The lack of teaching in the churches. That, you know, listen, Kenneth Hagin said this himself. He said, you know why we have so many of these, like, big name ministries? He said, God raises up special ministries. He said, God don't raise up special ministries because that's His perfect will for the church. He said, it ain't His perfect will. He said, even with His ministry, He said, God raises them up because the church gets off and gets away from the Word, and He got to send people back out to bring them back over to where it is again. We don't need another Smith Wigglesworth. We don't need another Kenneth Hagin. We need to get reading our stupid Bibles and quit playing this Christian junk. I don't want God to have to send me a special minister because I'm too lazy to read the Word. I'm too lazy to follow and believe what the Word says. And I'll listen to some knucklehead tell me I'm going under. See, we need to come back, folks. We need to wake up to these things. Now thank God His kindness and mercy, but He's kind of taken it. They're not the perfect will of God. We know very little about the perfect. I got the book and it got the perfect will of God in it. It's already there. He don't have to send somebody with a perfect will. It's already got it. It's already there. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. You're delivered. You're delivered from the consequences of your life. Get that into your mind. Meditate on that. Read these scriptures. I'm delivered. Sin has not. The Bible says sin won't lord over you. Now I'm going to guarantee you. I would bet 90% of Christians that talk about the fact of, you know, we're just going to sin can even tell you that scripture, but it has no. They have no revelation in it at all. Why? Because they've been told by their ministers, and they have bought it, and they don't even question for themselves. Christians are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He's going to tell them about the fact that they never read the Word for themselves because they listen to ministers tell them stuff, and they ain't going to throw all the weight on the minister and tell him he's the problem. He's going to talk to them about their laziness, their inability to look and read for themselves. I'm going to tell you, I never waited for somebody else to come along and show me. You got to go after it. I just learned that. I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, and I just in my mind thought, well, if I want to get to where he's at, I'm going to have to do what he did. He prayed and studied the Word. So I just, out of my stupidness, thought you did that. I didn't know that you just go sit and listen to ministers all the time. I didn't know that. Nobody ever, I didn't realize that. But see, that's what most people, they're never doing any study of their own. They're not doing study. They're just listening to somebody else. You got to study for yourself. It's got to, you know, it doesn't how much. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've been so excited about studying this stuff, it's been wonderful. But I want to tell you what, right now it's mine, it's not yours. You have to make it yours. I don't care what I stand, how excited I get at preaching. I don't care how fired up I get. You will never get fired up like me till it becomes yours. Never. And it ain't going to become yours just by keep listening to somebody else. You're going to have to go after it yourself. If you have a better way of doing it, please show me. I want to know that one. Hallelujah. I'm sure Mike would like to find it out, and Darlene too. You know, we'd like to know that one. If there's a shortcut, please tell us. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now I want you to see this. He said, we're not going to get redeemed. We have it. Now listen to what it says. We have redemption through His blood. And then He says, the forgiveness of sin. And right there, that backside of it, nobody ever hardly deals with the redemption. All they want to talk about is the forgiveness of sin. You know, forgiveness of sin wasn't mentioned first. Redemption was. And you'll find that all the time through Scripture. Because Christians know very little about redemption. We have redemption. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. We have it. I have forgiveness of sin. It was given to me. But I have redemption. There's much more. Redemption covers much more than forgiveness of sin itself. We need to understand these things. See, these things are listed. We just put it all in one category and throw it out there. Your redemption. Hallelujah. So God didn't just take us from the kingdom of darkness. He took us to another place. He took us to the kingdom of the Son of His love. He took us from something. I want you to get a hold of this. God always takes you from, when He takes you from something, He takes you to something else. You will find that. God doesn't turn around and bring deliverance without showing you a place that you can live in freedom. That's what revelation from the Word does. It takes you from where you're at and takes you someplace else. You know, 1 John 1:9 is not worth a whole lot if you can't get someplace else. Or you'll just go back right to your sin again. The Word of God takes you somewhere. That's the glory. That's why He said you come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Mercy is this. Mercy is what you get when you don't deserve. In other words, you've done something that does not deserve. You're asking for mercy. You have no place to stand. But now, God says, this throne He said we go to, this place we go to, He says, we come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. He said what? To find grace. See, to take you to something else. So that you can get grace to help you. Why? See, to help you place this other kingdom. You've been over here messing around in the sin camp. You've been over here in this place. He wants to get you back over living in that place of the grace of God that keeps you out of the mess of that place. It always leads you to something. God is always going to. Salvation always takes you out. Jesus, like I said, He didn't swim out there to rescue you and just pulled you up out of the water, but left you in it and swam off and went back to the shore. That's most of Christianity today. We're still out there in the water. We're still out there in the water trying to get it. We're still out there gurgling. But you know, I helped you enough to keep you from drowning completely, but you're going to sit out there in fear and trembling till I come back, or you die first, one way or the other. That's the church world. Hallelujah. Now, I used this scripture last week and I went through it. I'm going to do the same thing again with it though. There was the scripture. And I want to go back. The Lord told me to go back over and use it again. I wasn't going to, but in John 8:36 where it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Now, I never cared for that scripture much. People would say it. But somehow I knew inside, and you know, I was my own stupidity. Here's one of the things that it is. I knew inside something wasn't right about that scripture the way it was interpreted. I knew it for years. But you know what? I never went and sat down and studied it. And see, to my own detriment, I should have. I should have, when I knew something was wrong, I should have begun to start to focus on that. Because I would have known that God's going to try to teach me something. Because I'm getting a witness in my spirit. Something's not right. Well, when I got over there and began to look at the words that were used there, it totally shocked me. Because when I look at that word, the word that they translate makes and the word free, the first time, son makes free. Well, that first word don't read makes at all. See, I never got the son makes you free. I just never cared for it. And I didn't like it. Well, I went over and found out that those two words are actually the exact same Greek word. That word's used twice there. And what that word means, to liberate and to deliver you. It means to deliver. That's what it's talking about. It's making you free. It's delivering you. So then there's the second word free that was used in that same thing. There's a second word free. And that second word free is a different Greek word. But that dear word means somebody is free. In other words, they're delivered from, they're not a slave anymore. That now you're a citizen. You're freeborn. See, that's a new birth. You're freeborn. What are you a citizen of? He made you a citizen. You're a citizen now of His kingdom. He wasn't talking about making you free. What did He say? Therefore, and I wrote this down. I wrote it down. The Lord just really witnessed to me. Therefore, if the Son liberated and delivered you, you are delivered from slavery of sin and you're a freeborn man. That's what you are. And that word indeed, it means it's of a truth. In other words, it's the truth. And it should have ended, it's the truth. You're freeborn. See, you're a citizen of God's kingdom. That's what you are. You are now a citizen I mean, go over and read Hebrews 12 chapter. I'll tell you about that. You're a citizen of Zion. That's who you are. You're God's children. You are now a citizen of God's kingdom. You're not a citizen. That's why it says you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. Why? Because you're not a citizen of Satan's kingdom anymore. You're not. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. You have the rights and the privileges of God's kingdom. That's what you have. Because you're a citizen. Just like the United States. We used to have it, if you were born here in America, you had the citizenship here, but now you don't. Now if you live outside the country and come in illegally, you have all the rights of citizenship. And if you live here, you don't have many rights. But it used to be, and you still do in many other countries, if you're a citizen of that country, you have the rights of that country. Well, God's not a heathen like they are here in America. You over there in His kingdom, you have the rights and the privileges. In other words, what that kingdom affords you. There is no sickness in that kingdom. There's no poverty there. Sin does not dominate and rule. So you're in that kingdom. There's no way that you should be dominated. That's not there. It's not there in that kingdom. But see, we've accepted too much. See, people get over in their minds, well, why do we have this going on today and why? It's because of our believing problems. There's too many things we believe in a measure, but we don't believe in it as fullness. We've accepted too much. Too much political stuff has gotten into the church. You know, they're still out here fighting today. You know what? America'd be different if Trump would be president. No, it wouldn't. We'd still be as divided and as much heathenism going on and as much craziness going on. We need God is what we need. Get out of this stupid stuff and talking this political stuff. Quit talking the stuff about COVID and all this kind of stuff. We get it, we're just tied into too much of this, and what we are, we don't live. We get ourselves over in these fights of these, and that's all they want is a fight today. They want to fight about everything. Everybody got a criticism. Well, who cares if you got a criticism? I want an answer, not a criticism. I know there's problems. You know, discussing the problems don't get you anywhere. You know, I ain't gonna watch the news media, I ain't watching none of the conservative news media. All they do is talk the problems. I can't believe Christians sit and listen to those things and they listen to these guys on the radio. They go, conservative guys, did you ever hear this guy? He's really good. I'm sorry, he's talking about the problems all the time. He's part of the problem. Christians should be talking about God. We should be standing up. If a guy's really a Christian, he should be standing up and saying, hey, our political system don't matter. Let me ask you this. God can't change America unless we vote the right president in. Is he that little? Is he that much of a Twinkie? Well, that's what most Christians believe. Well, we just got to get it right. Yeah, so God can do something. Well, no wonder God. The prayers of the church have been worthless because of what people really believe when they pray. They really can't see deliverance. They don't believe God could do something and change things with Biden in office. Oh, he ain't big enough. We know that Biden's God. And if we can't get him out, God can't move. I've heard Christians talk that nonsense. Well, if God, we can't get this out, God ain't going to be able to do anything. No, I said God ain't going to be doing anything because you're still in the earth. If God, we can get you out of the earth, we'll be in good shape. There's a lot of Christians that are a lot of problems of what's wrong with this nation. Because they're full of unbelief. They don't know they're delivered. They believe that the devil's kingdom and the people in it still dominate them and rule them. Hallelujah. I thank God. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Thank God I'm not a slave anymore. Hallelujah. I put a smile on my face. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're delivered. Hallelujah. Delivered. You know, the scripture said, Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sin. Now, here's another scripture I used to really have a problem with. God led me over to the problems because it says that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might. I never like, what do you mean? I used to think that don't even line up with other scriptures that he might. He might? Who gave himself for our sin, and he might, he might deliver us. Who knows? I said, we got all these scriptures that tell us he did. And I thought, this mite thing, it can't be right. Well, I found out it ain't right. The crazy thing about it is, I was sitting there studying the Greek on this thing, and I went through different translations, and I can't believe it how many translations translate this word mite, and that word don't even mean that at all. It don't even mean that. But translators, they just go along. I'll tell you what, sometimes I think the devil gets in translations. I think he inspires people that the Bible's too good, we need to put something in there to, you know, tame it down a little bit. Because that isn't what it means. This word has the idea here, it means to release, deliver, pluck out, rescue. That's what that word means. It don't mean might. Might deliver. They added the word that he might. So, I rewrote it. Who gave himself for our sins, he delivered, plucked out, and rescued us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. What did he do? He did this for you. He who gave himself for our sins, he delivered, he plucked out and rescued us from this present evil age according to the will of God and Father. Hallelujah. That's what he did. He plucked you out. He delivered from this evil age. Well, now this evil age we're in. What is this evil age we're in? This evil age, it says, it talks about an evil age. Now, the whole point of this is the evil age. That age is a word that's used, it's designated in the Greek, it's like a time period. In other words, we're living in a time period, this evil age. Now, that age is going to end, we're going to go into the millennium, but this age is coming down toward an end. Now, he told us here that he delivered us from this present evil age. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy, and you guys have heard this and know these scriptures, but let's go over because we're talking about this age we're in. What are people like in this age? In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, I'm going to read you. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, telling people in the end times what it was going to get like. Do you believe we're living in the end times? I sure do. Well, what are people, what's this evil age going to look like? What's it going to be? What has he delivered me from? See, when we figure this out, you can get up and do a running spell then and get excited. Hallelujah. And find out, they just, you know, no matter what the news media said, they're all wrong about it. Hallelujah. We're delivered from this present evil age because he says to us in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and starting at verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the latter days, now, are we in the latter days? Hallelujah. He said, what kind of perilous times? So, we'll come. So there, we know this, we're delivered from perilous times. We're delivered from perilous times. The scripture says so. Paul wrote in Galatians and said, we're delivered. This delivers from this age, from this time period. You and I have been rescued from this thing. Hallelujah. We've been plucked out. He delivered us. He said, what? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boaster, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying its power, and from such people turn away. So we see the kind of people, what this age, the type of evil that's going to be represented in this age. Now we can sit and wring our hands and we could do all that. But the scripture says you've been delivered from it. Don't be afraid of them. Quit talking about what they're doing all the time. Quit talking about their evil all the time and what they're doing. Stop it. You've been delivered from it. It ain't getting on me. I have been delivered from that kingdom that's doing that. I have been put in this kingdom. We don't have that in my kingdom. Hallelujah. Why are we focusing? What we're supposed to focus is preaching the deliverance of Jesus Christ, the gospel, to get them delivered. Not to criticize them all the time. To running them down all of the time. And spending our time thinking about what they're doing. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We don't need to do it. We got plenty of people already. We got the news media is doing it. We got all of them out there doing that all the time. They don't need another voice. They got a big enough voice. What are they having ours for? You don't need to listen to preachers telling you all the bad in the world. Let's talk about the deliverer who's in the world. There's a delivering church in the world who mostly talks about being a failure, who mostly talks about everything of what they said of what they are, what they believe they're not. Hallelujah. See, the salvation that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ, we are delivered. We're plucked out and rescued from this evil age. That happened the day I got born again. It didn't just happen. It happened. I have been free of this evil age that's going on. I've been free from it the whole time. The church don't know. That's why in 2000, going through all this mess and the churches are over here whining, crying, bawling and squalling about what's going on and all this stuff. They never knew they were free. They want to get free. They think their freedom is by getting a government thing that says, you know, you're free. Okay, you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to. That's what freedom is to them. Freedom is something you vote for. I'm going to say something. Freedom is the name of Jesus Christ. Believing on Him, I got free. I voted for Jesus, and I got free back in January of 1980. I am not waiting for a government to free me. The government freed me. The one who is eternal and has set me in this kingdom that has none of that junk. See, we need to come back to, the church needs to come back to the truth of the word. We have left it. We have left it worrying about what they're saying and their doings. No wonder we can't stay in faith. You can't pray and be a worrier about the stuff going on. You can forget praying. Don't even bother. God ain't listening to worry prayers. He's not interested in people's worrying about problems. He's waiting for His people to stand up and say, Lord, I'm in this world. See, you need to understand. You know what? God will spare America because Ed Gibson's in it. God won't judge this nation because He don't judge the righteous with the wicked. But as long as the church don't know they're righteous, which they don't, it's no more than words out of their mouth when they talk righteous. Oh, we're righteous by faith in Christ Jesus, and they don't believe it. They're a bunch of whiners. God went to one man. One man named Abraham. And God says, you know, I'm going down there and deal with that Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham goes, hey, excuse me here. There's 50 righteous people down there. Would you spare? God said, sure enough. God, look, the Lord never even questioned it. Never even said, well, I'm going to have to think about that one for a while. He went on down the line till he got to 10. And said, would you spare it for 10? God said, sure it would. Kenneth Hagin says, he says, I believe if he had went down and went to less, he said, if you'd have saved it for one, he would. He said, because I think he would have listened to Abraham, what Abraham wanted. But you know what God did? God walked down there and carried out the will of Abraham. But you know what God did anyhow? He spared the righteous who were in the city anyway. Because why? God don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. God never destroys the righteous with the wicked. I wish I could get that revelation across in the church today. Because I'll tell you, 90% of the big name ministers don't even understand it. We have such a weak stuff preached today that people don't rise up in the strength. When God told us to pray for leaders, we're the righteous standing in for the leaders. He told us to pray just like He visited Abraham. Just like He visited Abraham. Am I going to do something to the earth without talking to my man Abraham? Do you think Abraham wasn't born again and God wouldn't do nothing without talking to him? On a covenant of just promise, wasn't born again. What would he do for the church? My God, we're His kids. What would he do in stopping talking to us? I'm going to tell you. We can hold some things back, but the church hasn't been able to because its weakness of preaching. It doesn't know its salvation. It doesn't know its deliverance. It doesn't know how great it is and how wonderful it is and how powerful it is. See, you can talk about having authority. Well, I'm going to just say this. You ain't going to ever do nothing with authority until you find out what your salvation is. When you find out your salvation is, you say, my God, I got authority in a bunch of stuff. Oh, glory to God. I can reach out here and take a hold of a lot of things. My salvation covers a lot of ground. Hallelujah. I don't know how far we'll get over. You know, one of the things is we get over into teaching. We're going to look over into the curse of the law, the blessing and the curse. And you're going to find out this. You as an individuals have authorities concerning your own children and the deliverance of your own children, whether or not they follow God or not, whether they make it to heaven or not. See, none of my kids are going to hell. I've been delivered from the curse of the law. And under the curse of the law, your children will get out and go off in and follow sin. And I'll tell you what, that ain't happening. See, I found out. See, I have authority in that area. God's given it to me. But you know what? I can't live like stupid and expect it to happen. It ain't going to just happen because you have the authority. You're going to take your authority and walk over there because you're going to have to walk in your authority to make it happen. Playground Christians, it ain't going to happen for them. We got to stand in our place of authority. And if we walk in our place of authority, we can guarantee our offspring. Hallelujah. I've never had fear about my offspring. My offspring are following God. Hallelujah. I have covenant promise with God. I'm delivered from the curse. Is it a blessing to have your offspring go to hell? Think that'd be a blessing? See, you talk in these areas, people don't know anything about confidence in these areas. They don't know because of the mildness of teaching over in the area what salvation is. People don't get confidence. And that, I'm going to tell you what, that is a sinful shame. Every believer should understand these things. Christians sit around praying, get in the face of God, wanting Him to do something about their offspring. And it ain't about God doing something about it. It's about us doing something about it. It's us stepping over in our authority. And we step in our authority, God will jump right in the middle of it. But until we step in authority, we waste our time praying. We step in our place. He's given to us. Hallelujah. Quit wringing your hands about what's going on. Step in your place of authority and tell the devil you get your hands off in the name of Jesus. You're not going to have them. I'm just notifying you and telling you it won't take place. It will not happen. Hallelujah. Ain't going on. Getting fed up with it. No, it ain't going to happen. Well, you'll have plenty of preachers and everybody else to tell you, well, you just don't know sometime. You'll have plenty of them telling you. But I'm going to tell you, sit down and read your Bible sometime and quit paying attention. If they want them and their children to go off to hell, there ain't nothing I can do about that. That's theirs. All I can do is tell people the truth. Whether people want it, I'm going to tell you what, I want it. I want the truth. God told me the truth from the beginning. When He told me, go over and read the 148th Psalm, said, where it says, the man who fears the Lord walks in His way, his wife will be a fruitful vine by his house, and his children around his olive plants, around his table. The Lord said, if you follow me and walk with me, I'll guarantee your family. Hallelujah. And it's worked ever since. See, why? Because I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I don't have to sit and watch, wring my hands, see everything that they might do wrong, and then wring my hands and do my little wring my hand praying, and oh God, Jacob, no, no. See, you get over into that stuff, just throw everything right out the window. Start acting like it ain't working. I have always did this. If they get all straight, I just say, Lord, You told me if I follow You and walk with You, You'd take care of those things. And I just say, Lord, if I've missed it, let me know. I repent. But Lord, You're going to have to take care of what You said You're going to do. And you know what? He always jumps right in the middle of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because why? He's a God of His Word. You must come to that place where He is a God of His Word for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to just share with you we're going to take communion. But I'm going to share with you today because there's another word that we have in Scripture which I haven't gone to yet and we're going to go to and we'll pick up a next week and we'll look at. But is the word, there's the word, we're talking about salvation, but there's the word save. The word save or saved is used in the Bible. And we use that word. It is a Greek word. And sometimes people say it's sozo, but actually it's sozo. It's pronounced like it has a D in it. It's sozo. And this is a Greek word. And see, this is another word. The words that God used when He deals with salvation and save, the words that God has picked to use, they're wonderful. Because this word, in its use, means to deliver or protect. It's to heal, preserve, save, do well, or be made whole or make whole. It's used in that idea. It's always used along those lines. See, when we talk about saved, you know, again, people think about just getting born again. But God used a word that encompasses all those things. Now, I like Thayer's Greek lexicon on the subject, because he said, dealing with this word, sozo, he says, to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. See, it sounds like the other word we're talking about there, salvation. He goes on to say, to save one from injury or peril. It can be used, because this is how it's used in the Greek language. This is how they used it. To save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. In fact, you find out this word is used many times when a person was healed, the word sozo was there, and it said they were made whole, or they were made well. That was the word used. See, when we go over to James, and James said about anointing the sick with oil, the prayer of faith, they say save the sick. That's the word sozo. Actually, it should have been translated healed, because that's what it's talking about. It's talking about healing, health. That's what it should have been said. They put saved in there. See, I'm totally convinced that lots of times the translators, they translate in line with their beliefs, not in line with what words actually say or mean. That's why you study. He didn't say you'd be saved. He's telling you, you're going to be, in other words, you'd be rescued from that sickness. You'd be saved from that disease. That's what you're going to get. So, but this, it's a wonderful word. It means to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save them or rescue them. This word can be used to save, and I like this because of what we deal with. To save in the technical biblical sense, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment. See, you've been saved from the judgment of God. You've been saved. In other words, you've been delivered, you've been protected from that, is to save from the evil which obstructs the reception of the messianic deliverance. See, you've been saved from whatever the devil brings to try to keep you from enjoying the deliverance God has given you in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. The devil throws obstructions out there. God's saying you can have it no matter, you can have deliverance no matter what the devil throws out there. Hallelujah. So God used an all-encompassing word here to show us deliverance, to show us what salvation, to show us the wonders and the glories of this salvation, how big it is. What is it? What is it that you're going through? See, when you start dealing with this and we get over and we can start looking at the curse, you look at anything that could happen. Deliverance encompasses it. There isn't nothing that mankind goes through. There's nothing that sin has brought into this earth and has caused to happen that God doesn't have it listed under His deliverance. Not a thing. See, we turn around and made salvation this little old thing and called it gospel. And it wasn't even much gospel. You know what the word gospel means? It means good news. The Christians think they're doing you a big deal giving you this much good news when there's that much good news. And they call it good news. Hold it! We didn't even get a decent headline from the church. That's not a gospel message. Because the deliverance, this encompasses everything that delivers, harms, makes ill, well, everything that you can think of. See, to me that's the most wonderful thing. See, I can't think of God and think of Him wanting people to have problems and wanting people to have troubles and that kind of stuff. Did you ever notice this, concerning judgment? Now see, people bring judgment on themselves. Now I've learned this. The Bible says the kindness of God leads men to repentance. You know, I've really learned that in this age we're living in right now. I don't care how much judgment comes on people. Are they repentant? How many people are turning because all this stuff? You can't even get the church to turn with all this ugly stuff. They still thinking dumb. They're still thinking over here. All I got's forgiveness is it. But actually, I'm still a sinner too. You'll never see a revival come bringing judgment. It don't. Revivals come, you see gifts and manifestation, the Holy Ghost, healing, deliverance, people getting set free. That's what we want. We want to move a God like that. Why? The kindness of God leads men to repentance. See, these people that preach, you just get enough judgment. I've learned about the judgment thing over the years. I've watched over the years the judgment stuff that comes on. I've read the Bible. I have studied Jeremiah. I've read through it. I've taught that book already and that stuff. I've gone through that thing, and I'm going to tell you what. Judgment didn't change a thing. Now, God wanted to bring revival, but He couldn't. They just kept following sin and that judgment. God wanted to do. The prophet kept telling them, God wants to deliver them. God wants, nope, we don't want it. We want sin. We like the sin stuff. We like living the way that we are. We want to worship our own way and our own gods, and we want to do all this stuff. This is what we do. Well, they ended up with it. But it's the kindness of God. See, they never would yield to the kindness of God. They wouldn't yield to it. They wouldn't yield to it. I've watched Christians over the years that wouldn't yield to the kindness of God. They just kept going there. You tell them, say, no, that ain't the right way. I've literally done people's funerals who I told them in advance. They kept going the way they were going. They were going to end up dead. They didn't believe it. One person I talked to, within 2 weeks, died. You know, they're just going to, I want to go my way. I want to do what I want to do. This is what I want. Well, see, people say, well, God wasn't even in on the thing. God was trying. God had me call them and talk to them, tried to get them, show them His kindness, that He wanted them to turn around. Don't get yourself in trouble. But they had a God belief they were following. Now, it wasn't biblical because I told the person, what you're doing isn't biblical, and I showed them from the scriptures the right way, what the Bible says. But they had a belief. See, that's why follow the Bible. Just listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. See, they got a, God delivered them from destruction, and God went to the point of sending someone to there to deliver them from destruction, and they still did. And see, and people would say, well, what was the God reason taking them home so young? God didn't take them home. They committed suicide on their own. They chose death over life. They chose death over life. God told me to go offer them life. They chose death. God. Oh, I almost can't stand to go to a Christian funeral. I almost hate to go to them. And I have to listen to them say the dumbest things in the world. Go down, run my God down, and I got to go sit and listen to them. Then I got to listen to Christians, then talking it, and the other guy, they're doing something spiritual. Well, God had a reason. See, if God did things because of reason, He'd have knocked half of them idiots out. My God. My own personal life. Even since I've been a Christian, the mercy of God. The only reason I'm here is the mercy of God. He's always good. He's wonderful. He took me out of darkness. He will always try. There's no such thing as a Christian heading in the wrong direction and God not trying to do something to bring them back. What did Jesus said the good shepherd does? He leaves the flock and goes look for the lost. He will always, the one who strays will never stand in front of Jesus and say, I didn't know you didn't talk to me. You weren't telling me what was going on. That will never happen. Jesus is not a liar. He will always go look for the one that strays away and tries to get them back before the wolf eats them. Always. I've been on a number of occasions sent to people, and after a period of time, they died to try to warn them about something. I don't like to do it. I used to ask God, God, why do you send me? Why do you send me off to town? Why don't somebody send somebody else off to town? Well, I found out because he said, you'll go if I tell you. Most people would see the person doing it, criticize and talk about it, but they wouldn't, they're not going to let God send them to go talk to him. Why? Because that's not the popular thing. You know, you don't get to be Mr. Popularity doing that. Because you get criticized. See, I've got criticized for that. Going and telling a person. And it's always interesting, because see what they'll always, you know, who are you to judge? And then they go tell other people about you, you bad person. And they jump on their, other Christians jump on their side. And then when the person ends up dead, they scatter like a covey of, you know, quail out of there and that stuff. They don't want to be around it because now they know, oh my God, it did come to pass. Ha ha ha. It happened. And they never repent of their evil and wicked doing. And they set themselves up for the devil. God is on the saving side and we're in the saving kingdom. One of the great things that I know, and this has been one of my confessions for years on end, God will do anything to get in touch with me if I get off base. He'll do anything. He'll send somebody from the other side of the world to come talk to me. He'll find somebody. He needs to send an angel. Or if Jesus needs to appear himself and talk to me, God will do whatever it takes to come and show me if I get out of line. God will do it. Why? I'm in the saving kingdom. I'm in the kingdom over here in this place. That's where my citizenship is here. And you know what? My Lord is one who warns. He's one who goes out after. He might not like what I do, but he still wants to get me back under the salvation. He will still always wants to deliver me. He always wants to set me free. He always does. See, you got to get that thinking in your mind. People today worry about Christians sitting around worrying about, what if Jesus comes? Am I going to be ready? I'm going to tell you, God will turn this world upside down to make sure Ed Gibson's ready. God will do anything. He'll jump across 100 billion people to get to Ed Gibson to make sure he's ready. Because I'm in his kingdom. I'm God's child. Hallelujah. That's what he would do. And I ain't special. He'd do that for any. But he's only going to do for you what you believe. If you sit around and worry, well, I don't know. Am I going to be ready when Jesus gets back? Glory to God, I'm going. Hallelujah. First bus out. Hallelujah. Get out of the way. I might knock you out away from the door when I get in. Dear God. We're gone. So say, get on the bus or get out of the way. We don't hold nothing up. Get your thinking changed. Get you over here. You're in the kingdom of God. You're in God's kingdom. What he will do for you. Hallelujah. Get your mind and get your eye on that. Don't get your eye on what's going on out here and that stuff. The fears of what's happening. People need to turn and repent. I'll tell you, God knows who's his. That's what the scripture says. God knows his. Paul wrote, God knows who's his. Hallelujah. I'm his. God knows who's his. See, do you know? God knows you. He knows you. Hallelujah. He knows you belong to him or you don't. He knows. See, you can get your mind over there and get in those areas where you start to wonder. And you get like Alice in Wonderland. You get out there wondering. You get your mind thinking. Get your mind off that. Get yourself thought of the Word of God. Look at what the Bible says. Don't be moved by anything else. But what the Bible says about you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion this morning. Fellowship with God. You see, the greatness of this God, you can fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. He's called you to fellowship. That's what the communion table is about fellowship with God. Hallelujah. The greatness of this salvation, the wonder of this salvation is so great. It is so large. It is so big. Hallelujah. See, you can come to the table today. You come, you're partakers, partakers of His body. His body was given for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever's going on in your physical body, He took upon Himself. He took it upon, He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He's not going to bear your sickness today. He already did that. He's not going to take any infirmity that you have. He's not going to do that. He already did that. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He did it? We're not, see, that's why you can come and ask by faith. You can walk up and say, God, I believe I receive. You can't believe you receive anything that He hasn't given. If He hasn't given it already, you cannot believe you receive it. It's impossible. It hasn't been given. See, the money that's in my account at the bank, the money that's in my account there in the bank, that is my money. It's on my account. They hold it, they invest things and do stuff. But I go down there to that money. When I ask for that money, I'm not asking them if they want to do that. I'm just telling them that I'm here to withdraw some of my money. God, in the same way, God has put to account to us all these blessings that He has given to us. In the same manner, He has done the same thing to you. They are on your account. They're not going, He doesn't go over there, well, you don't have anything, and you're going to go over there and try to make a loan. You're not going over there to make a loan. It's what's healing is already on your account. It already belongs. Jesus already died for your healing. He already took it on His body for your deliverance. He already did that. Whatever binds you, whether it not sings you, whatever it might be, whatever holds you in any way to tries to destroy or tries to hurt you in any way, any financial need or anything you have, it's already on the book. See, you already got the loan. Hallelujah. The wonderful thing about it, Jesus will give you the money without interest and won't even ask you to pay it back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you can believe you receive it. See, we're in this operation of faith. Faith takes what belongs to us. It's not trying to take God, trying to get God to give you something. That's not what it's trying to do. Faith is going, see, the Bible says it's about being born again. As many as receive Him, it didn't say as many as who ask Him to save them. It says as many as receive Him, to them gave you the power to become children of God. See, when I got saved, I received Christ. See, I wasn't trying to get God to give me Jesus. Jesus was already given the day He was raised from the dead and went and took His blood into the holies of holies of heaven and put that blood on the mercy seat. From that day, Ed Gibson's salvation was sure any time he received it. Anytime I decided to receive it, why? It's to all men's account. Anybody who comes gets saved. All the blessing to the account that's in the kingdom of God is to everyone. Every sinner in hell, everyone who has already died and went to hell, already has on account all the blessings that were in the kingdom of God. If they would have received Christ, it all belonged to them. They didn't have to perform any deeds. They didn't have to perform any wonderful things. We don't have to accomplish anything great that would pat us on the back and tell us, oh, you're just terrific. The one who is terrific, the one who we pat on the back, His name is Jesus. It's the one we commune with today. It's Jesus Christ with His body and with His blood, because this is our redemption, folks. This is our deliverance, whatever it might be. Reach out and take it. If you can't fellowship with Jesus, I don't know who you can fellowship. My God, He's good. Hallelujah. And He calls you, come and fellowship. Come and fellowship with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I want to just thank You today. I thank You for all the wonders and the glory that You've put in this great plan of salvation that You made for mankind. Father, when we look at this thing, Lord God, You have placed mankind who receives Jesus Christ in a better position than Adam was in this world. We have a place of security that he didn't have. He was in a place of his innocence, but Lord God, we're held captive in the body of Christ. We're part of God Himself. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to just thank You today. Our salvation is for sure. You have provided for us. If we miss the mark, we can confess our sins. You're faithful and just. Hallelujah. We're kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. And we can eat of the tree every day. We can eat of the tree every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I thank You. And Lord God, as we come to these elements, Lord God, to fellowship with Your blessed Son, I am just so thankful, Father, for Your great love that You sent Your wonderful Son, Jesus, for us. And Jesus, Your kindness to step out of the glories of heaven, come down here with suffering man on the earth. You didn't look at us in a distance and say, oh man, look at the mess those poor people are in. You stepped in the mess and you came right down in here. And you loved us. You loved humanity. And you stepped down in here and you walked along in this thing and you didn't run us down, you saved us. Hallelujah. You came down. You gave your body for our body. You gave your blood as a payment for our sin and our deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. How wonderful. How glorious it is. So, Father God, as we partake these elements today, I want to thank you, Lord God, you're reminding us we're one with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we got a co-inheritance with Him given to us. Hallelujah. For what He inherited, we inherited. Hallelujah. The blessings. And Lord God, we're looking and knowing we're coming close to the day that we're going to get the fullness of our salvation. We're going to get the end of the completeness. We're going to get the new body. And what a day that will be when we get to look in our Master's eye and look just as He is in the fullness of salvation. Oh, Lord God. Jesus, I marvel that You call us to fellowship, and to fellowship with You as being one with You, but yet You're God. And yet You want to meet with us as if equal. Lord God, it's a mind-boggling thing. But I want to thank You for it today. How wonderful You are. How glorious. How glorious. Lord Jesus, we just want to understand more about You. Lord Jesus, open up the Word more and more to us to see the glories of this redemption that You gave us. Lord God, that we stand on the hilltops and mountaintops of this world and yell it out to this world. The glories of this wonderful redemption. Hallelujah. Your goodness, Lord God, to humanity. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for delivering us. Thank You for not holding our sins against us. Thank You for cleansing us, purifying us, and allowing us to stand in Your presence whole and sound. And we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.